In Parshas Vayekel, our parsha, it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu. It starts off when Moshe Rabbeinu, the day after Yom Kippur, the morning after Yom Kippur, he collects all of the Jewish people together, assembles them together, and goes on to explain to them the importance of the commandment of giving in a generous manner to the Mishkan, for the place dwelling for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, it's interesting to note that the first commandment he goes on to explain before he portrays the idea of giving to the Mishkan is the commandment of Shabbos. So question number one is, what is it about Shabbos that it's so important to start off with saying the commandment of Shabbos before he requests the people to give in a generous way to the Mishkan? Question number two, it's also very odd the way the Shabbos commandment is brought down, because first it says, Sheshes Yamim Teaseh Melachtecha, that first, in the 6 days before Shabbos, work may be done, and only then it says, on the seventh day, it's Shabbos, the day of rest, the day for Hashem. So the question is, it should have just said, the seventh day is a rest day for Hashem. Why does it have to preempt and say, on the 6 days, work may be done? Is work being done a commandment on the 6 days? So some may want to say that it is, but it is actually not. If anything, it's a curse. Like we know Adam HaRishon got the curse, b'zeat apecha tochal lechem, he'll have to sweat to earn the bread. So what's going on over here? And question number three is, it says it in a very odd fashion, in a passive sense, work may be done. In Hebrew, there's a tzeri under the taf, which it says te'aseh, not ta'aseh, one should do or one can do, but work will be done, almost implying that the work will be done, not necessarily by us. What does that mean? There's several answers for each question that are brought down. I want to share with you a certain mahalach based on what I saw, b'shem Rav Shlomo Ganzfried. He says that it was purposely written that way, that the 6 days of work will be done, and in a passive way, before Shabbos. Why? Because it's hinting to us that in order to totally fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos in the best way, one first has to realize that indeed everything that we have comes from Hashem, and it's not directly related at all to how hard we're working for the money. It's not kochi ve'otzem yadi. It's not my power, my energies I put into something, that's based on that the results will come. No, Hashem decides at the beginning of the year in Rosh Hashanah what we're going to get, as the Ramban explains it. It's based on this gzeira, on what was decreed for us already in Rosh Hashanah. And he goes on to bring, the Chafetz Chaim brings a mashal to explain this. And he says that one has a bucket, and at the end of at the bottom of the bucket, he has a tap. So a person might think he adds another 3 taps because he wants more water. That's not going to help him to get more water. The amount of water is the same amount, a static amount, no matter how many taps he adds on. That's similar to a person saying, oh, I'm going to work harder, I'm going to do this, and there's no end to how much he can work. But at the end of the day, the amount is all a static amount of how much he's going to end up having in his pocket. This also reminds me of the famous vote based on the Gemara in Megillah, Yegato Matzata Ta'amin, that if you work hard, then you should believe if you find something. The question is, why is the Gemara using the Lashon of Matzata, Metzia, as if he found something outside? Well, you didn't find, you worked hard to get it, so you achieved it. And the answer is exactly what we're saying now. No, you didn't, just because you worked hard, that's not why you're achieving something. The only reason you're getting and achieving something, it's begeder of a metzia. It's as if you found it, because Hashem is deciding to give it to you. And everything is like that. Many of us in our personal lives, I'm sure, can think of many cases that we worked really hard and we thought we're going to get something based on what we did, but really, at the end, it totally comes from left field, as they said. Already at this point, we pretty much answered most of our questions, because question number one, why was Bichlal Shabbos commandment being brought before Moshe Rabbeinu asked everyone to generously give to the Mishkan? Because Shabbos brings home this idea, especially the way it was written in this week's Parsha, it brings down the idea that doesn't matter what, everything is coming from Hashem. So don't think that if you give as we saw several weeks ago, then you're going to lose out. It's not really, it's already decided how much you're going to get. So don't think, oh no, how can I give in a generous way? I need the money. Hashem will decide how much you end up getting, so that shouldn't stop you from giving. Question number 2 and 3 were about Shabbos specifically, and we answered that as well. The reason has to preempt by saying 6 days, one work may be done, because we want to ensure that you understand the work will be done in a passive way, meaning it's not really your strength and energy you're putting into something that will decide how much money you're going to have. And hence, by you not working on the seventh day, i.e. Shabbos, you're not going to lose out on it. And only someone that really internalizes this idea can indeed fulfill Shabbos, the commandments of Shabbos, to its fullest extent. They bring down that there's an idea of eating fish on Shabbos in every meal. That's where gefilte fish came from, etc. So some want to say that perhaps this idea we're discussing now is also hinted in this idea that we eat fish. Why? Because one can see that when a big fish, eats a small fish, you see that he really swims behind the small fish, and then he tries to eat him. So one would think that when you open and dissect a big fish and you find the fish that he ate, you'll see that the fish are aligned, meaning head to head and tail to tail, because he's running after him, swimming after him, and when he eats him, so he eats first he opens his mouth and he eats first his tail, goes into him, and then the mouth. So they should be aligned, mouth to mouth, or head to head, and tail to tail. But indeed, the studies show that it's exactly the opposite. Why? Because maybe it's hinting to the idea we're saying, that the big fish really thinks he's going to eat the small fish, and he's planning to eat that. But a lot of times, it's totally a different fish that's coming out of left field, going into him. The same idea, that we may think, right, we're back to the optical illusion game again. We may think that we're working really hard, and it's based on, and Hashem makes it seem that way, because again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working within the Teva, within nature. So it also seems to us as if it's really based on how hard we work and what we do, and it's all because of us and because we're talented, etc., that we achieve what we achieve. But in fact, that isn't the truth. The truth is that Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mirat Shamayim. The only key that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is to make a conscious decision to want to do the will of Hashem, Ritzon Hashem. And that's it. Even this mitzvah that we've decided to do, if it's going to come into fruition, is not really dependent on us, but it's more dependent on Hashem. Now, Rav Neumann in his book, Darkei Musa, takes this idea even to a more of an extreme and says, it's not just someone that internalizes this idea can have the ability to keep Shabbos to its fullest extent, but even more than that, it's bizchut Shabbos that we have a bracha and are going to manage to do well and succeed in the 6 days of work. And then it'll be as if the work is happening on its own. As we know, Shabbos si mekor ha-bracha, and he brings a story that he heard personally from the Chafetz Chaim, that once upon a time he came to a person that had a big factory in Russia on Shabbos, and a lot of Jewish people were working there, and he got upset at him. He says, listen, the Pasuk says, Sheshes Yamim Tavod, and on Yom HaShvi, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to work. How can you do this? And the Chafetz Chaim said, the bracha you get for your work being successful is only B'schut Shabbos. How can you do this? How can you do this to yourself? You're crazy. And the person said to him, yeah, right, Rabbi, please. My whole factory, you think they're living and alive and kicking and doing well only because they're not going to do well only because of a pasuk in the Torah? And the Chafetz Chaim said, you better be careful. Bad things are going to happen. And a couple of weeks later, the enemies came into Russia before the war and they confiscated all of his factories. And he was able to run away, but at the end of the day, he wrote a letter back to the Chafetz Chaim saying, yeah, it is true. All my factories are only living and we're only doing well because of a pasuk in the Torah. I'd like to end with a story, I think, about of Yitzchak Zev Mibrisk, or Zev Yitzchak Mibrisk, that he got married and his father-in-law was Rav Oyerbach, and he gave him a lot of houses. Apartment buildings, whatever it was, and it was right before the war. So he asked a friend of his to be the middleman to buy and sell the to sell all these apartments. So he allowed it to go onto his friend's name in order for him to properly sell it. And then suddenly the war came and everyone had to run away. When he came back, all the apartments or houses were already on his friend's name and he passed away. And the kids, no one had any idea, no one believed that it was really this big Rav's Rami Brisk, that it was his Yerusha and that really he deserved to get it. And they thought it was their Yerusha, their inheritance, and he just lost everything. And he couldn't believe what happened. So the chizik one could get from the story is because he took this and he said, why am I so upset about this? Everything's Me Hashem. Obviously, my level of bitachon is low. So he went and he took a book, a famous book, Chovas HaLevavos, and he started reading Shal Bitachon, the chapter that talks about bitachon in Hashem, and he read it over and over and over again, and until he realized, who cares? And he realizes, he says, after he learned it many, many times, that a person that's really happy in life is not a person that has anything, rather a person that really believes in Hashem. Yi ratzon that we internalize this concept of believing in Hashem, and through that we can get closer to Hashem and live a more happy life and secured life. Good Shabbos.